Coming in at the end of what will end up being a five-week series. If you have been here with us during this series, by now you know that this image, right, the disciples' path, we use that because following Jesus really can be described as a journey. And on that journey, along the path, along the road, there are mile markers that we've been looking at. Again, they are not labels to shame you, but they are signs to help you locate yourself on where you might be on that journey. And we're trying to help you identify where you're at on the journey, but beyond that, to encourage you and to help you think about how to continue taking steps to move forward in your journey. Today, we're on week four, so today we're going to talk about maturing, okay? And we want to be clear about this, because if we're not careful, this can turn into this word can turn into a little bit of confusion. It might create a little bit of guilt, and we don't want that, right? So the distinction between where we were at last week growing and where we're going to be at this week, I will put it up on the screen. Growing is primarily about what God is forming in you. What God is forming in you. We talked about last week understanding our identity, beginning to develop habits, building community, being shaped by God. What God is doing in us is that growing state. We said that that state never ends, right? We're always consistently growing. Even as we move forward in our journey, we never stop growing. Maturing, and what we'll find out today as we unpack this, is when you begin to live beyond yourself. Again, it's not that you stop growing, never stops, but your spiritual center of gravity begins to shift. Growing says, Jesus is changing me. Maturing says, Jesus is beginning to use me. Growing is, I need to be fed. Maturing is, I want to help feed others. We could say it this way: growing is learning rhythms, maturing is carrying responsibility. Growing is becoming steady, maturity is becoming dependable. We'll put it up put this up on the screen. We can think about it this way: a growing disciple asks, "What is God doing in me?" We should always be asking that, right? That never stops. That's always a part of our journey. What is God doing in me? How is he growing me? But a maturing disciple learns to also ask, where is God calling me to take responsibility? And that shift, that growth on our journey is one of the healthiest, most life-giving things that can happen in a believer's life and in the life of a church. Because a church full of growing believers is a beautiful thing. But if nobody matures into ownership, taking on responsibility, right? Being willing to shoulder the load of helping others, then that church will get stuck. So again, today we're talking about this piece of our journey, this part of our journey called maturing. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at a man in the Bible who I think, better than others, maybe not the best, but a really good example for us of someone who exemplifies what maturity looks like. If you have a Bible, open it to Acts chapter 11. Which is where we're going to be in just a few minutes. If you need a Bible, we have copies of the scriptures on a table outside. We'd love to give you a copy of the Bible, and you can take that Bible with you. We're going to put the verses up on the screen in just a few minutes. But today we're going to introduce ourselves, or reintroduce ourselves, if you're familiar with him, with a guy named Barnabas. Barnabas is a man who is not flashy, he's not loud, but he is an example of what a mature believer looks like and what he does. Before we read the text in Acts 11, I think it's important for me to give you enough context to understand what's going on as we jump into this narrative so that you can begin to see and feel why Barnabas being sent to this town that we're going to read about called Antioch is a big deal. So as we begin to look into this passage, here's what's going on. The early church, which is what the book of Acts is all about. It's about the growth and development of the early church, the movement, the spread of Christianity from the beginning in those first few years after the resurrection of Christ. The gospel is beginning to spread because of the persecution. But something happened earlier in Acts. Stephen, one of Jesus' followers, is killed. And because of that, believers are a little bit shaken, and they begin to scatter. They literally begin to leave Jerusalem, which was where the hub of Christianity was at the time. It's where the movement started. And what's amazing is that as they scattered, the mission didn't die. It actually grows. It actually spreads. And what it's a reminder to all of us of 2,000 years later is that it was ordinary Christians who carried the gospel beyond Jerusalem. And it happens in this part of the book of Acts in a town called Antioch. Now, again, you wouldn't know this, but Antioch is not just some random town. In the first century, it was a hub city. It was a major city in the Roman world. Antioch had all kinds of trade routes. It was a place of economic and social influence. It was a place where cultures mixed. All kinds of different ideas were flying around in the city of Antioch. And again, what we see happening is the gospel gets to Antioch and it begins to take root there. And what we can see or think about is if the gospel is able to get rooted in Antioch, it's not going to stay in Antioch, because so many people were coming in and out and traveling to and from and through Antioch. So strategically, the gospel being in Antioch was super, super important. It really mattered, right? It also was something new in Antioch, because Antioch is the first place that the gospel began to spread that wasn't within the Jewish circles. Antioch was multi-ethnic, and in Antioch, people from different ethnicities are responding to the gospel. A multi-ethnic church is beginning to form in the city, and that's really, really exciting. It's really important if the movement of Jesus followers was going to take hold globally. But again, think about it. You're in those early years of this new movement, this Jesus movement, that was called the Way at the time. It was probably raising some questions. Not probably, it was raising questions back in Jerusalem. Those church leaders back in Jerusalem were now thinking to themselves and asking each other questions like this: Is what's happening in Antioch healthy? Is what's happening in Antioch anchored to the truth? Is the gospel being proclaimed? How are the Jews and these Gentiles going to live together as one spiritual family? A lot of honest, natural questions were coming up from Jerusalem and from the church leaders there. So Jerusalem sends somebody to Antioch. And it's not just any somebody. They send somebody that they knew they could trust. Somebody who was steady. Somebody who was discerning. Somebody who was wise. Somebody who carried a level of discernment. They send a guy named Barnabas. And again, the fact that they sent Barnabas tells you probably everything that you need to know about him. Jerusalem and the church leaders are basically saying, hey, we trust this guy. Barnabas has good instincts. He builds unity. He's a connector. He's a shepherd. He's got a heart for God. He's discerning. He's wise. He knows how to encourage what God is doing without ignoring what needs to happen next. So with that in mind, let's actually read this story in Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. Here's what Luke writes. He says, "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch." What were they doing? "Speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists," or some of your translations might say Gentiles, "also preaching the Lord Jesus." It says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them." That's a good thing. "And a great number who believed turned to the Lord." That's a good thing. The church is beginning to get established in Antioch. "The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, also known as Paul," same guy, "and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians." So what I want to do today is I just want to tease out some characteristics, some marks of maturity that we can see in Barnabas in these few verses, that if we can kind of lay them across the grid of our church family and of our own lives, it helps us to kind of filter through what maturity looks like. Helps us to begin to get this picture of what maturity is all about. I'm going to give you three of them. The first one is this. What I see in Barnabas is something that should be seen in all mature disciples, and it's simply this. Mature disciples see God's work in and through people. Again, the text says that Barnabas arrives and he sees the grace of God. That in itself is maturity. Immaturity often sees problems first. Immature eyes walk into a situation and they see what's wrong. Mature eyes walk in and see what's good. They see what God is already doing. And it says that he saw the grace of God. Now, what does the grace of God look like? Right? We know what grace is, but what does it actually look like? Well, from Barnabas' standpoint, it looks like what he saw in Antioch. And what he saw in Antioch was the gospel being planted, people's lives being changed. I'm sure that as he walked into the situation, he didn't see perfection. All of this was new in the city. Jews and Gentiles coming together to worship this guy named Jesus would have brought all kinds of issues and problems that, again, we're going to see did not go unaddressed. But when he first arrives, it says that he saw God at work and he was glad. He rejoiced. That's maturity. Again, doesn't mean that he would ignore sin, but he starts with celebration. He says, God is doing something here. And then it says, he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. What's that? Well, that's the flip side. So Barnabas comes in and he says, God is doing something good here. But he exhorted him to remain faithful. So he encourages, but he also challenges. He celebrates what God is doing, but then we see he spends plenty of time there in Antioch calling them to move forward, calling them to keep moving ahead. That's a maturity marker. Again, because immature disciples, they tend to do one of two things. Immature disciples tend to either one, become critics. They walk into a church, they walk into a situation, and the first thing that they want to do is they want to point out what's wrong. Well, they're not doing this, or they're not doing that, or they should have said it this way, or they should have said it that way, or they shouldn't have, you know, made that decision, or they shouldn't have made that, or this other decision. And you see it oftentimes in churches, big and small, of all shapes and sizes. And we've had seasons of that here where people would walk through the doors of this church family, and what they would do is they would first look for what's wrong. Well, what's wrong here? And oftentimes, they would cloak themselves as being mature. But what they were actually doing is they were revealing just the opposite. They were revealing how immature they really were. Immature disciples often become critics, or they become consumers. They walk into a church and all they care about is, how are you going to feed me? How are you going to help me? How are you going to do something for me, for my family, for my needs? But you see, mature believers, mature disciples walk into a situation and they discern grace. They discern God at work. And they celebrate that, but they're not just content with it. They say, now I'm going to lean in and help build on it. I'm going to help strengthen it. I'm going to see the potential around me, and I'm going to point it out, and then I'm going to call it up. I'm going to call it forward. So let me ask you a question. Be honest, not out loud, but honest with yourself. When you walk into church, what do you see first? I'm not talking about the greeters at the door, but what do you see first? Do you see what's missing? I wonder why they don't do. How come they never say? Why don't they ever address? Do you see what's missing? Do you see what you don't like first? Or do you walk through the doors and you just kind of look around and say, wow, God is doing something. God is among us. God is with us. God is growing us. There's something that I see that I can't put my finger on, but there's something good that's happening. I hope most of us walk through the doors that way, because what that is that's a sign of maturity. And I'm grateful that so many of you do that. Listen, there is no illusion coming from this guy that we as a church have it all together. We are imperfect and messy, and we have things that we can improve on and do better, and there are gaps and things that are going on. Like, I would love to continue to build up at this church, right? But I don't see that first. I see God working. I see him changing you. I see him stretching you. I see him pulling you out of your comfort zone, into having to take steps of faith that lead you to a little bit of uncertainty. Now, that's what I see, and I hope that's what you see as well. That's a sign of maturity. It's a mark of growth. And Barnabas had that. But then there's something else in Barnabas that I think we can learn from. Mature disciples take ownership by serving, not seeking status. Nothing in the text says that Barnabas shows up and demands attention, that he's looking for an audience. He doesn't show up and make it about himself. He just says, look, there's some good things going on, but let me now encourage you to keep moving forward. He strengthens the church, which is exactly what Jesus says maturity looks like. Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45. We've said this often over the years. Jesus' word says this: whoever would be great, the greatest among you, must be your servant. And then he talks about himself. He says, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And if we want to be a church that models Jesus, then we must continue to be a church that takes ownership of the mission by serving, not seeking status. And I'm, again, let me affirm and celebrate what I see. Nobody's jockeying for positions here at Zion. And that's a good thing. Nobody seeks status at Zion. And I'm grateful for that. But let me encourage you, as your pastor, what we do need is more people being willing to say, put it on me. I'll take responsibility. I'll lean in. I'll shoulder that burden. I'll stand in that gap. I'll take the lead without being told what to do. I'll take the initiative. There are plenty of places where those things can happen and ought to happen. And it doesn't need to be about you seeking status or recognition. It's about you saying, look, I'm maturing to the point where I see these things as well. And I'm willing to step in. Again, maturity is not, I finally get what I want. Maturity is, I'm ready. I'm ready to serve. Now, again, there's a quick word of caution that comes with this stage in our path. See, some of us confuse busyness with maturity. You can be very busy, but not be anywhere close to being mature. So don't hear me saying that I just want you to be busy doing stuff. You see, if we write it down, we can say it this way. Maturity is not being overcommitted, but it is being others focused. It's not about saying, I'm just going to do everything. It's about recognizing that God has given you a thing, and you do it faithfully. You recognize what he's entrusting to you, and you say, I'm just going to do it faithfully. Barnabas is that kind of guy. He's not a frantic guy driven by emotions. He's just faithful. Let me give you one more mark that I see in Barnabas. Mature disciples build up others and share influence. This might be the most important part of this story, but we can overlook it. Verse 45, it says that Barnabas went, I meant to say 25 if I misspoke. Verse 25 says, so Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. Again, easy to overlook, but it's an important part of the story. Barnabas doesn't hoard the leadership. He doesn't think that he's the only one that can make a difference in Antioch. He goes and finds Saul or Paul, and he brings him back to Antioch, probably because he recognized his own limits. Barnabas was a great encourager. We don't have any indication that he was a great communicator, great teacher, a great leader, visionary. That's Paul's territory. Right? Paul was a strategic thinker. He was super smart, intelligent. He could debate. Like, he was trained. He's like, I need to bring this guy back to Antioch. So he goes and gets Paul, brings him to Antioch, and they spend a year there just building into this new movement, this new group of followers in the city. Again, that's a picture of maturity. Immature disciples compete. I don't want anybody to take my spot. I don't want anybody to take my territory. I don't want anybody to be seen as being better than me. Mature disciples don't care who gets the credit. They're willing to reach out, develop others, bring others along, find people who can do it better than them, right? Immature disciples, they're the ones who just want attention. Mature disciples give it away. Hey, look, Paul's here now. Ask him your questions, right? Paul's here now. I'm going to let him take the lead when it comes to strategic thinking and how to grow and develop, this movement more here in Antioch. Again, if you remember, it was Barnabas, after Saul, who becomes Paul, after his conversion, who vouched for him when all the other disciples at the time were like, run, this is a bad dude. I mean, when you think about it, Barnabas' life was basically this pattern of like building up other people, believing in other people, encouraging other people. And if you want to know whether or not you're moving in that direction toward maturity, Here's a diagnostic question that you can ask yourself. Who are you intentionally building up? Simple question. Who are you intentionally building up? And if the answer is nobody, that might just be an indication that your version of faith or where you're at on your journey is still mainly about you, what God is doing in me. And to be clear, there's no shame in that. I don't say that to put shame on you. Just the opposite. I'm saying it because if it helps you identify more clearly where you're at on your journey, great. Great. Hey, I'm not yet at a place where my spiritual default is others-oriented. I'm still thinking about, man, I got to learn how to pray. I got to learn how to read the Bible. I need to figure out how to just get up every Sunday morning and get my butt to church. Look, if you're in that place in your journey, great. Be honest about it. But don't stay there. Don't stay there. As you grow, begin to say, God, help me begin to see other people differently. How can I begin to look out around me and say, God, as I'm growing, I want to get to the place where I'm thinking about others. Help me get there. Help me get there. So again, just review. Let me put it back, this distinction on the table one more time because I want it to be simple up on the screen. Growing, last week, is about roots and rhythms. You're learning to abide, to just be with Jesus. You're building your identity, knowing who you are in Christ. You're learning community. You're deciding who you're going to do life with. You're becoming steady. Again, super important. We need to always go back to this. We never stop with this part. Maturing is what happens. Maturing is what happens when that steadiness turns outward. You're not just fed, you feed. Right? I'm going to hit that next slide. You don't just belong, you build. You don't just attend, you contribute. You don't just learn, you begin to lead. I want us to see the difference. Maturing is not I'm better than others. Maturing is saying I'm learning that I am responsible for others. Again, if a church never develops these kind of disciples, it becomes a room full of spiritual consumers. Feed me, help me, grow me. But when people mature, the church begins to be a family that lives and does things together on mission. I'm going to go back to this road imagery, and maybe this will kind of crystallize it for you in your mind. When you're a kid, you have no choice. You're just the passenger. You show up, you get in, you fall asleep, you wake up, somebody hands you a snack. You might ask, if you're old enough, are we there yet? But you contribute absolutely nothing. You can't. Then you get older. You're still a passenger, but now you're a passenger with opinions. Why are we stopping there? Do we have to listen to that music? Why is it taking so long? Still, you're not carrying any responsibility. You're just definitely commenting on everything. Hold on one second. But at some point, something changes. You become an adult, and you realize trips don't just happen. I don't just show up and say, give me some snacks. Somebody has to make them happen. Somebody has to plan the route, fill the gas tank, pack the cooler, load the car, keep the peace, and get everyone there safely. Again, that's the moment that things change. You're not just a passenger, you're the driver. You're responsible. And again, here's the difference. Here's the key. Drivers don't just enjoy the trip. They carry responsibility for everybody else in the car. That's the growing to maturity. I just made up a word. That's the shift from growing to maturing. Again, growing is when you're just, Jesus is changing me. I'm learning to be steady. I'm building those habits. I'm happy to belong, and that's great. If you're growing, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're glad you're here. We want to help you grow. But what will growth lead to? Hopefully, it leads to maturity. It's when you begin to realize God asks me to do some things. He's counting on me. People are counting on me. It's not about what I receive anymore. It's what I can carry. It's not about what I get out of church. It's what I can give while I'm at church. And this is exactly what is happening with Barnabas. He leaves Jerusalem, shows up in Antioch, and he doesn't say, what can I get out of this? He says, where do y'all need help? Then he strengthens them, exhorts them, and even goes and gets Saul because, again, Paul is the strategic thinker. That's maturity. That's Barnabas. And that's many of you. And I'm grateful for that. I am blessed. Zion is blessed to have what I would consider to be a whole lot of people that I'm pretty confident in saying, that's where you're at. That's where you're at. And that's a gift. But if you find yourself maybe thinking, I don't think I'm there yet. I can't identify myself as being at that point in my journey. But I want to get there. What do I do? Well, give it to you again. Sum it up. What we've just said. Step one. I'm actually not as sick as me. I'm actually getting better. It's just at that point now where the coughs are there. So anyway, don't feel bad for me. I'm actually better than I have been all week. The first thing is this: see God at work. If you want to mature, learn to see God at work. This is just about your posture. Again, start asking God for eyes to see like Barnabas. Instead of saying, what's wrong, say, God, where are you at work? And that's not just in church. You know that, right? That's also when it comes to your home, with your family, with your spouse, with your kids, to begin to see God working in their life. Instead of pointing out what is wrong and where they need to change and where they need to grow and what's missing in their world and their life and their journey, it's being able to identify, I see this. This is a good thing. This is God at work. And point it out. Tell them. It's being able to see it at work with your coworkers. Again, mature disciples spot God working. And when you spot God working, you say it. And you celebrate it. Encouragement. When we use that word encouragement, he's an encourager. She's an encourager. That word is not a fluff word. Encouragement is a fuel. People need encouragement to keep going. And some of you can change the temperature of your home. You can continue to change the temperature here at Zion just by becoming an encourager. Being willing to point out what you see going on in somebody's life in a positive way. Learn to see God at work. That'll help mature you. The second thing is this: serve faithfully. Again, so what we've been talking about. This is about responsibility. Maturing is when you stop asking, do I have to? And start saying, I can't wait to. I get to. I want to. 1 Peter 4 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. So what has God given to you? What is your gift? When it comes to time, what kind of time do you have to give? What skills do you have to give? What experiences do you have to give? What wisdom do you have to give? What kind of hospitality can you give? What kind of leadership do you have? How about compassion? And if you have no idea how to answer those questions, do me a favor. Go on the Church Center app and go on the home screen, and there's a link to a Discover Your Why that's an online survey that'll be sent to me, and we'll sit down and have a cup of coffee because it'll help you kind of begin to think about and identify what it is that God might be gifting you with that he wants you to use to serve faithfully. Whatever gifts that God has given you, are you using them? That's maturing. And the third thing is strengthen someone. We're going to talk more about multiplication next week. The whole message will be on multiplication. But we all need to find our Saul. Someone who you could bring along. Someone who you could encourage. Someone you could invite into your world. Mature disciples don't think in terms of doing tasks. They think in terms of investing in people. I'm thinking about people. I'm trying to bring people along with me. Zion, if we want to be a church that makes disciples, then we have to normalize maturing. We have to celebrate serving. We have to build pathways for people to become leaders. We've got to make space for people to carry responsibility. And I'm thankful for those of you who do carry responsibilities. Find somebody to carry it with you, because there will always be more responsibility to come. Ephesians 4 says that leaders, me, guys like me, it's our job to equip the saints for the work of ministry. It's a reminder that ministry is not the job of professionals. Pastors don't do everything. We can't. Ministry is the calling of the people of the church. And when every one of us does our part, the body grows. The body becomes what the body is intended to be. So Zion, I want you to know I love you. And if you care about what God is doing here, if you're being fed here, at some point, the mature thing to do is to move from growing to maturing, to move from just consuming to contributing. And you may not be ready for that now, and that's okay. And I don't want you to make that move out of guilt or fear or manipulation, but just as the natural byproduct of your gratitude for what God's doing in you and how you're growing into his image. And how he is being more formed in you, as we say every week. You're not doing it to earn his love, because you've already got it. You've already got it. But if you have got his love changes you. And that love should move you forward, move you outward. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Those who are going to get baptized can go and get ready. Let's put that last picture up on the screen. I think I've got one more that kind of goes as a review. Again, we've said every week we're going to just put this up on the screen so you can look at it and kind of think about where you're at. And if you're still here today and you're exploring, that simply means I've not yet made a decision about whether or not I'm following Jesus. You're welcome here. You're welcome here, and we want you here, and we want you to ask questions, because we believe that curious isn't far. If you're curious about following Jesus but you haven't yet decided, hey, keep asking questions. Let us know you're here. Let us know what those questions are. If you're in the beginning stage, that simply means I believe, or I'm ready to believe. I just need to know what it looks like to begin to follow Jesus. If that's where you're at, welcome. We're glad you're here. We want to help you. You just need to tell us, this is where I'm at, and I need somebody to show me how to walk out this thing called Christianity. If you're growing, awesome. Again, we have things that we try to do to help you build habits. We have places for you to connect so that you can begin to build community. We want you to continue to be rooted in your identity as a follower of Jesus. And then if you would say, yeah, I would say that I'm in a maturing part of the my journey. First of all, thank you for continuing to walk out your faith in this way. But I hope you heard affirmation and encouragement this morning. And if you say, I'm somewhere between growing and maturing, keep leaning in. Keep leaning in. Be intentional. Take some steps so that you can say, yeah, I do feel like now my spiritual center of gravity is shifted away from me first to others first. That's a beautiful thing. And then next week we'll talk about intentionally investing in others, and again, in an even deeper way. And I'll wait till next week to unpack that. So take some time to think and to pray and say, God, what's next for me? And if you want to, while we sing, come and kneel and pray about it. Ask God for help. Have somebody pray with you over what God is saying to you. Awesome. We'd love to do that. If you want to take a minute on a connect card, say, hey, Pastor Trent, here's what God's doing or saying to me, and I just want you to pray for me. I'd love to do that. I'd love to be your friend beyond this morning. But whatever it is that God's asking of you, take some time to respond in these next few moments. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. We're going to celebrate a baptism, and then we'll head out. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word and share. And I pray, God, again, that these weeks of just thinking about the path would help us all clarify in our hearts where we're at and what's next in our journey. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Let me invite